chapter 9. In chapter 8, what we saw is Jesus has been teaching in the temple, in the treasury department. He's talking about how he was around even when Abraham was around. He was teaching about how true life comes from him and not from the law of Moses. He was teaching the Judaizers or the Jews there about what true grace means. The problem with religious people, whether they be Jews or Gentiles, we have often skewed ideas about what the Bible really means. See, Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. Some of the things that were lost from the very beginning since sin came in was a right relationship with God. Jesus came to make that way right again. He was calling his people, the Hebrew people, back into a right love relationship with God. And if they would only hear the words of Jesus, they could hear the words of God. But they would not and could not believe that. And as he was teaching there in the temple, and as he came towards the end of this talk, they were ready to stone him. In verse 59 of chapter 8, it says that they took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself, and he went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so he passed by. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which is blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was blind, that he was born blind? Now, catch this. All right, you're in the temple, right? You're teaching. People are so mad they pick up rocks, boom, they'll bust you in the mouth, man. I'm about to stone you to death. Jesus calmly gets up, he starts walking out. I imagine the people that wanted to stone him are not far behind him. Right? They're still angry at him. As he's walking, his disciples see a blind man. And they ask him a question. Now, if it were me, someone's trying to stone me, I wouldn't want to be stopping and having deep conversations with people at the moment. How about you guys? Right? Now, you put yourself in this position. All right? So he's walking through. They're ready to stone him. And his disciples happen to pass by a guy, which they probably passed by a lot. And they say, wow, hey, Jesus, who's the real sinner here? This guy that was born blind or his parents? All right, Jesus, it just shows the grace of God. He stops and says, all right, come on, guys, let's talk about this. I'm trying to get you the picture, the scene of the things that are going on here. And he's watching, he stops. His disciples asking, who did sin? Was it this man or his parents? And Jesus said, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the work of God should be made manifest in him. Often we think that if somebody has a physical disability, right? Well, that guy must be a sinner. Especially the Jews back in there. They say if a birth defect comes down, that means the parents or maybe their parents' parents, somewhere in the line there was sin, and God was cursing that family. But so often, in fact, that's not true about God anyhow, right? That is not the characteristic of God. God said it wasn't the parents that sinned, it wasn't the man that sinned. I mean, he was born blind. How can a baby doesn't sin in the womb? I mean, we're born sinners, but you don't really commit sin just by being developed in the womb. You know, that's not anything to be sinful about. Jesus said, no, the whole reason that this whole thing happened is that people can see the work of God. Justin, the way he is. And, Nathaniel, the way he is. Right? Why is that way? I tell you what, Nathan has taught me how to love in a different way than I've ever known, right? Justin has taught me how to have courage in a way I have never known. I couldn't have even grasped that without having him there. I couldn't have grasped real love without having that huge mountain of a young man. Get so excited to see you. And when Nathan puts a hold on you, woo, baby, you got a hold on you. That boy, he knows how to give sugar. Amen? He does. He knows how to give sugar. What a blessing that is.
And without that, you won't really recognize the depth of God.
Now, God's going to do something special here, and He doesn't do it with everybody. How many blind people were in Jerusalem at that time? Probably thousands. How many handicapped people were in the area at that time? Thousands, possibly. But Jesus, as they walked through, when the disciples noticed this one man, they said, look at him. What's special about him? And Jesus said, let's look at God and see what's special about God. All right? The whole reason that this scene is taking place, that you can know the power and the might and the grace of God. And then he does the craziest thing. Who would ever thought that healing happens this way? I mean, the healers of today, you know, for 1995, I'll heal them. But Jesus, he said in verse 4, I must do the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh and no man can work. All right, I skipped that verse. I'm sorry that I did that. We need to come back and look at that a little bit deeper. Jesus saying that neither one of his parents nor did he sin. Then Jesus says, I must do the works of him that sent me. Now, look at the teaching that Jesus is laying out here. Remember, Jesus already said, the works I do because my Father. I don't do anything without my Father doing it first. I want the world to know that while I am here, there's a special thing happening. While I'm here, while it is day, while Christ is in amongst you, while the Savior is here, I must do those things that God has called me to do. How about that, church? You have the Spirit of the living God in you. Do you have that same urgency? I do. We must be doing the things that the Father has sent us to do. Right? We must be going out. We've got to be going out to the folks who don't have, giving what God has given us to the folks who don't have. People that are blind that can't help themselves. Now, not physically blind. How about spiritually blind? How about emotionally scarred and wounded? How about those people? And now, we have the Spirit of God in us. Do we have the drive that Jesus had? Because that's all it was, a drive. He said, I must do the things that the Father sent me to do. While in this day, I've got this job to do. Now, there's coming a time that I'm not going to be able to do that work anymore. But while I'm here, right now, put yourself in that position. While you are here, right now, in the moment when God brings somebody before you, there's something to do. All right? And you might only have that split second to do it. You might only have that minute to love them. You might only have that little bit of time to reach out and touch them physically to show them the compassion, the love of God. While it is day, while you have that moment, because how many times has that moment came in your life and you didn't take it and it was gone? It's like skipping a rock across the water. God gives you this opportunity and He puts it out there. And that moment that the rock hits the water, you got that second just to touch a person's life, to let them know the grace and the goodness of God. Regardless of their blindness, regardless of their wound, regardless of their problem, that moment in time, you have it right there. And God can do a marvelous work through you in them if we would just look for those moments that God gives us. Remember, the crowd's trying to kill Jesus. They're coming at him with stones. He takes time. The problems of his personal life did not get in the way of doing what God's will was. That, to me, that's Christianity. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what God is equipping us to do. To meet the needy in their need. To meet the hurting in their hurt. To meet the lonely in their loneliness. And love them right there. That's what Jesus said. I've got to do the work of him that sent me. Do we have that same drive? Do we have that same compassion? I must do the work that God has given me to do. Right? When we go to do something, is that the driving passion that we have? We ought to have that. And you do it while it's day. The night comes and when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world, which brings us back to John chapter 1, verse 1, right? In the beginning was the Word. And Jesus was the light and the life of man, right? And said, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, and he made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with
clay. Now, what an odd way to heal a blind person. Right? Think about this.
Stir it up. Come here, boy.
And he takes that mud, that clay, and he smears it down his face. Only God, right? Only God. Only God. Only God. That's all I can say. Now, if when God does something, he does it uniquely and often strange in our eyes and our sight. It doesn't say that the clay was anything special. It doesn't say his fit was anything special. Jesus said the reason that this man was born blind, that you could see something extraordinary happening, because I'm in his presence right now. I'm right there. When God brings somebody to you in your life path, he brought them there that they can see the excellency of God, and God may ask you to do something strange. Right? He may say, this is the strangest thing you'll ever. How in the world is how is me going to mow their lawn going to help them? I mean, that's how's that going to make them see? How is me taking something, the little $2 I have in my pocket, spit and dirt? How's me taking my spit and dirt and giving it to somebody else? How's that going to change anything? Because that's what Jesus did. Really, he spit on the ground and he made clay. He put it out over the guy's eyes. In that, the man, then it comes from what Jesus did to the responsibility of the individual. All right? So after you do what you're supposed to do, while you do the work on this day, right, you do what God has given you the instructions to do at the moment, then it becomes, after you do what God's told you to do, then the responsibility goes to the other person. That's what happens here. Jesus did what he was supposed to do. He made some spittle on the ground. He anointed the man's eye with the clay. And then he said unto him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. No, not Siloam. Salome. Say that word.
Siloam.
Siloam. Go to Siloam, which is interpreted sense. And now, if the guy hadn't have went and washed, if he would have said, this crazy man just spit on the ground and rubbed it in my face, I'm not going to do what he says. Go ahead, sister.
How would he know that he's bad and made clay and put it on his face if he couldn't see?
Well, one thing. Have you ever smelled spit? Okay. Spit has an interesting odor about it. All right? And dirt. You'd know if somebody rubbed clay in your eyes. And if you've never smelled spit, lick your finger, let it dry for a minute, and smell it. It has a smell. Especially when they didn't have Crest and Listerine. Okay?
You can hear someone spit too.
Yeah, you can hear someone spit. Right? And I don't know. Okay, to answer that question, that squared it away a little bit. But anyhow, and natural things you can tell. And it doesn't say that he knew what happened. All he knew is that somebody put something on his eyes. He could probably tell it was dirt, mud, clay. And then he told him to go and do something. If the individual hadn't gone and done what he had been asked to do, see, the healing didn't take place in the spit or in the clay or in the wiping of his eyes. The healing took place when the individual had faith enough to go and cleanse. Mm-hmm. That going and cleansing, that's when the work happened. When you had enough faith to take whatever was given to you and you follow the instructions of God without knowing the result of what's going to happen. Because Jesus didn't say, go and wash and you'll be able to see. He just made some spit cakes and rubbed it in his eyes. I would imagine the guy's eyes were closed. I would have to guess. You know? And so anyhow, and he told him to go and wash in this particular pool. So this guy, he had to leave where he was at, which I imagine in those days, they would have a little mat that you were sitting on or a place that you were begging alms. And it was right outside the temple because they were going to stone him in the temple. He hadn't gone a long way out. To receive the compassion of the church in those days, the crippled man would be outside the temple. The blind man would be outside the temple begging alms as people would come and go.
So this guy would have been in that position, in that area there. And as they saw him, he did the spittle thing. And then the guy, by faith, he went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Now imagine that. You've never seen anything. You've never seen lice ever before in your life. All of a sudden, you hear these people talking. And you probably heard this conversation before as the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the religious people were walking in and out and saying, wow, what a horrible sinner. His parents must have been. His boy was born blind. Or this guy was a sinner because he's blind today. Because that's what the disciples ask. Who sinned? The man or himself? And then you hear this one person, probably the first time he's ever heard this in his life. Neither one of these people sinned. The reason that this boy, this man is in this condition is that the majesty of God could be seen. And then he just smears this mud on his eyes and tells him to go wash. What faith it would have taken for the individual that was sitting on the outside of the gate, on the outside of the temple, to get up and do what was just told him. Think of all the years that he's been sitting there, all the years that he's been put down, all the years that he's been laughed at, scorned at, called a sinner, made feel less than a human than what he really is. Think of that with the individual that meets you. How often they've been laughed at, scorned at, made feel less of a human than what they really are. How often have I walked by that person and laughed or scorned and said, what a sinner, instead of stretching out my hand and meeting them in the middle of their need? Oh, if we were more like Jesus. You know? Oh, if we were more like Jesus. What a difference that would make. And so he goes and he does what he did. And the neighbors, in other words, the folks that had known him, his neighbors, therefore, and they which were before, had seen him that was blind, said, is that not he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he, and others said, he looks like him. But he said, I am he. All right, so the recognition. When the person accepts the obedience of Jesus Christ, all of a sudden the neighbors see a difference. Right? Now this guy has a drastic difference. He was blind, now he sees. How about the drunk that stops drinking? How about the person in a relationship that is outside the confines of Scripture, gets out of that relationship because they came to know Christ? Amen. How about the drugger that stops doing drugs? Or the thief that stops stealing? Why? Because they met Jesus Christ. When you meet Jesus Christ in a real personal way, he heals you, he puts that clay in your eyes, and he makes you to see through the obedience that you have, the faith that you have in his word. Because that's all this blind man did, is he took the faith, he believed whoever touched him. When Jesus touches you, and you believe that it's God, and you walk in obedience to that, something changes. And the people who knew you before will say, I recognize you, but that ain't you. I remember you when you were going to the brothel over here. I remember you when we went to the bar. I remember you when we used to do this or we used to do that. What happened? I met Jesus. He made me see. He opened my eyes in a real personal way. That's what happened to this guy. And his neighbors noticed it. And they say, well, is this it? Is he the one? Some said, yep, that's him. Others said, I'm not so certain. But then the guy stands up and says, yes, this was me. It's me. All right, it's me. I don't know exactly what happened. I know that somebody put something in my eyes. I walk by faith. I do what he said. And now I can see. And that's what he would have been telling his neighbors. And therefore, verse 10, therefore said they unto him, how are thine eyes open? And what a great opportunity for a witness here. How did you become seeing after you've been blind in your sin for so long? Joshua, what changed? Man, I remember last week, back in the day, there was a different Joshua. You came to know Jesus Christ. Kevin, you came to know Jesus Christ. There was a change. Lance, there was a change. Ryan, there's a change. Alan, you've always been the same. But there was a change, right? When it became real in your life, there was a change. And they would ask him. And so he gave the answer, and he set up and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. And they said unto him, where is he? And he said, I don't know. I know not. When we got saved, we really can't say how we got saved. All I know is I heard about Jesus. All I know is that Jesus touched me. All I know is I heard about the good news and something changed in my life. I can't tell you, I've never seen Jesus. I walked by faith. That faith made me see. Now I see, right? That's all. That's all I can tell you. I don't know how I was saved. I don't know how the lights came on in my heart and in my life. I have absolutely no idea how that happened, but I know Jesus did it. Right? I know Jesus did it. And that should be the same. That ought to be our testimony, all of us, to the folks who knew us before we were Christ, belonged to Jesus. And now when they ask you, right, you go to your family reunion and say, wow, Ryan, you're different. I don't know. How did this happen? I don't know how it happened exactly. A man named Jesus touched my life, and now I'm changed. And they said unto him, now where is he? He says, I don't know. And they brought him to the Pharisees, him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made clay and opened his eyes. And then the Pharisees asked him how he had received the sight. And he said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes. I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. And others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. And they said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him? And he hath opened thine eyes. And he said, he's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received a sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked, okay. So the picture again, all right, the Pharisees heard that something was going on, bring him here. I want to see him. I know he's been outside the gate for a long time. I got to see it for myself. They bring him to the Pharisees. They start questioning. How did you receive your sight? A guy named Jesus did it. Oh, he did it on what day? Oh, he did it on the Sabbath. Oh, he healed on the Sabbath. He must have a devil. He broke our religion. He broke the way. He used a different Bible than the King James. All right, I had to throw that in there. I'm a King Jameser way back, right? But often, do you know that God can still save through the nearly inspired version? Amen? He can still do that. He can use the ESV, he can use whatever. In fact, he saved a guy right here with a little bit of clay and spit, right? Didn't use the Bible at all. I mean, he was the living word, he was the Bible, right? But he can use whatever he wants to. He uses people in the middle of their depravity to show the majesty of God to change the individual's life. And if God uses whatever he uses, we as Christians, we as those who are the holder, the temple of the Most High God, we who are the temple of God, should not degrade somebody who got saved in a way that you don't think they could get saved. Because God doesn't ask you who He can save or how He can save them. Right? It is not up to me how God does that work or when He does that work. The Pharisees, they got upset because He did it on the Sabbath day. In fact, everything that they really didn't like about Jesus is because He did it against their law, their religious law. Can't do anything on the Sabbath. When the disciples were walking, they were hungry, and they took the ears of grain and they cleansed it. And they said, well, why do your disciples do what's unlawful? And Jesus said, listen, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Or is that the other way around? Sometimes I get it backwards. Anyhow, and He said, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. God, Jesus was Lord of the Sabbath. And it wasn't made, man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. And you should be able to do good stuff. And He told the Pharisees on another time, if any of you had a donkey in a ditch on the Sabbath day, wouldn't you pull it out? Isn't it lawful to do something good on the Sabbath day? As He told in another account of a different time that He healed on the Sabbath day. Often us religious people, we get what we think. See, we have God in this little box, and when God works outside of our little box, we don't think it's God. The Jews were the same way. Right? We could get into different religions and sects and all that, but that doesn't matter. Because it comes down to the individual, right? The individual. Not the congressional understanding of God, but the individual hearing the Word of God that changes a person's life. And so He had been healed on the Sabbath, and they brought His parents in, alright, because they didn't believe that even this guy was even blind. Alright, he's been bumming from us for years, sitting outside the gate. He's probably been able to see the whole time. He's been, just been a scoundrel forever. So they brought His parents in. Somebody that would have known Him from the beginning. Okay, and they asked them, saying, is this your son who was born blind? How then doth he now see? And His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. And he shall speak for himself. Two ways I like that. One thing is the parents were being absolutely honest. They weren't there. Again, gossip is a bad thing. Even if you're doing good stuff with it. Right? His parents weren't there. They didn't see what happened. And so, I don't know. I don't know what happened. He's a grown man. Instead of gossiping about somebody, go ask the person. Right? You know, instead of going around, well, tell me what you think it means. No, don't beat around the bush. Go to the point. Go to that person and say, what's up with this? That's what the parents said. Listen, he's a grown man. You ask him. I wasn't there. Don't get me lying. Right? Don't get me lying about the whole situation. So they did. And so in verse 22, these words state his parents because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already, if any man would confess that he was Christ, that they should be put out of the synagogue. So there's two different things that are going on here. One is, I wouldn't gossip about it, but these people were actually moved by fear. Sure. But before that, it doesn't say that they were there, that they saw anything. So both things are true. All right, they weren't there, they didn't see. And on the other hand, if I stand up for Jesus, they're going to throw me... If I stand up for his personal witness, they're going to throw me out of the synagogue.
It's a big deal.
It is, and in those days it was a big deal. That was the church, the synagogue, that's where everything happened there. Yes, your entire life. Yeah. If you got threw out of the synagogue, then you were blackballed from the community. Yeah. You couldn't buy milk anymore. You couldn't go down to the shop. You'd walk into a place and they'd turn their back on you. They wouldn't speak to you at all. What a horrible thing that would have been, especially in a place like Jerusalem, you know, or any town. Imagine if that happened right here in Caledonia. Oh, geez, I don't have to imagine, do I? the way that it is. But anyhow, and so, but the Jews said that if any man confessed Christ, that they'd be put out of the synagogue. And that was a big thing. Therefore, his parents of his age did ask him. And again, they called the man that was blind. They said unto him, give God the praise. For we know that this man is a sinner. All right? Now, we need to be really careful saying some man's a sinner and some man's not a sinner. Right? As a body of believers or as a Christian, I can't look at you, especially if God's doing something in your life, and it is God, and say that you're a sinner for doing it. Right? We've got to be really careful about that. Now, if you take the Word of God and you pervert the Word of God, then we have a strong responsibility to fix that. All right? But, you know, we have an individual comes and he goes out and he witnesses to people. Praise God for that. You know, I'm not going to say anything bad about that at all. But if that same individual comes and he perverts the Scripture, twists the Scripture out of shape, we'll straighten that back out. But what he's doing, if God's working through him, praise God for that. Right? Praise God for that. But when you take the Word of God and you twist it out of shape, then that needs to be twisted back into shape. And it ruffles some feathers from time to time. But still, if he's doing the work of God, let him go do the work of God. You know, he's not my servant. And so, but the Pharisees, they said that give God the praise. We know that this man, talking of Jesus, is a sinner. That means they didn't know nothing about Jesus. All they knew is that he healed on the Sabbath day. Healing on the Sabbath day doesn't make you a sinner. Right? And so, and he answered and said, whether this man is a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. And then they said unto him again, what did he do to thee? How he opened thy eyes? And he answered them, and I have told you already, and you did not hear. That hearing is believed. You didn't hear. You didn't believe it. Wherefore, would you hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Again, this man, he's a pistol ball here. I mean, he's not taking anything from anybody. He says, listen, I've already told you one time how he made clay, put it in my eyes, and I went and washed, and I was made clean. He did it on the Sabbath day. All right? That's what happened. I told you once, if I tell you again, you're still not going to believe. Do you really want to be his disciple? And that got them riled up. Boy, don't you? I belong to Moses. I'm Moses' disciple. And we know that God spoke unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. And the man answered and said unto them, why therein is this marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, he heareth. He heareth. Since the world began, it was not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. This is still the blind man talking here. And then the Jews answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and doest thou teach us? And they cast him out. I love it because they get so upset just because they heard the truth. And that happens. That has happened here recently. Heard the truth, they got mad. Right? They left. We didn't cast nobody out. They left. They got heard the truth. They got mad. They left. And so when Jesus, he found the person that was cast out, he heard that he had been cast out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, do thou believe in the Son of God? And the blind man, he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he, the blind man, said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. All right? There you go. That when the truth comes out, when you know everything, See, his faith, he was given sight, and then his faith was made sight. He finally saw Jesus. And folks, there's one day we're going to see Jesus. I mean, I might be cast out from a lot of stuff. I might be cast down, put out of a lot of different groups of people. But one day I'm going to stand before God. I'm going to say, that's the one that healed me. That's the one that cleansed me from my sin. That's the one. Right? I believe it now because I was blind and now I see. You believe it now because you were blind and now you see. Everybody has been in this boat. The names have changed, but the story still remains the same. And Jesus said, of judgment I've come into this world, that they which see may not see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, ye should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. Alright, now that's a hard one to look at, but let's look at it. Now the Pharisees, the ones who knew the law, the ones who understood all of the scripture, right? They came to him and said, are we also blind? And Jesus said, if you were blind, you should have no sin. If we were blind to the religion of the world, we would be made cleansed through the blood and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. If we would stop looking to our ways and start looking to His ways, if we would stop doing it in our strength, in our mind, if we would stop being religious and get back to the relationship of God, then we could start to see. My brother.
I wrote the sin of unbelief in Jesus.
Amen.
I wrote it right in my Bible.
Absolutely. And that's what it is. It's when you see Him and you don't believe it is Him, that is absolutely sin.
Deliberately. When you know it's Him.
Yes, when you know it's
Him.
You
didn't know.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
they knew who it was.
He just healed a man who was blind, born blind. Right? This is within the same amount of time there. It doesn't say that this has been months or years. This is in a real short space of time that all this whole thing has happened. What Jesus was talking about, Abraham in the temple, what Jesus did for the blind man, this happened in a really short amount of time. A day, maybe 2 days. It didn't take long for all these things. Maybe at the outside, maybe a week. But it would have been a big rustle, right? Think about it. Many people know Justin. If God, by His grace, would heal Justin, what this town would do? Amen. How long would that commotion go on? How long would that conversation go on? Right? It would happen for more than just a day. Right? And anyhow, so in that same thing. And so he says, you were blind? If you were blind, you'd have no sin. But you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. When you think you know something and you really don't, your pride has blinded you. Right? The pride of unbelief. And it is a pride of unbelief. We're the disciples of Moses. I'm not the disciple. They say we're not the disciple of Christ. Moses didn't save anybody. Moses was saved. But if anybody was saved in Moses' day, it was through the grace of God. Right? It wasn't through Moses. Moses didn't die for anyone's sin. You could believe in Moses and still go to hell.
The law.
The law.
The law came through Moses.
Amen. Right. But grace and truth, amen, came through Jesus Christ.
Right.
And so, anyhow, we did get through all of chapter 9. That doesn't happen much, and I kept you for a few minutes longer. But I wanted to get through that because next week is I Am the Good Shepherd, and we're going to park there for a little while. There's a lot there. But we had to get to that point. Amen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and just thank Him. Father, we do love You. We praise You, Lord God. Thank You for Your Word. And I pray that as we've gone over this chapter, this little piece of history, Lord Jesus, I pray that You have spoken to our heart and gave us the faith to do the things that You have called us to do. Father, help us to reach the blind. Help us, Father, to pour our hearts out into their lives, Lord. Help us to meet the needy with the compassion of Christ. Father, help us not to be so wrapped up in our beliefs that we miss the relationship of the Most High God. Father, help us to truly see what the Spirit has to say to the body of Christ and make us obedient through those things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Love you guys.